one of the things hockey fans are anxiously awaiting is the location slash identity of hub cities for the tournament. How close are we to knowing the identity of those cities, and when might we expect an announcement?
I think it's unlikely there would be an announcement for another 10 days to 2 weeks at the earliest. Obviously, the NHL is going through the cities, the logistics, what the pros and cons of each one would be, also dealing with the differing public health measures which are in effect or may be in effect in those places, as well as any immigration issues that might arise. So we're some time from being able to make that announcement, I think.
Don, from the outside, it certainly seemed that the NHL and the NHLPA moved pretty efficiently, you know, to get this restart organized, to find a format to get it moving. And, you know, even though there's no roadmap for this, there's no blueprint for what you guys have done. And there wasn't a lot of, you know, we've seen some rancor in other sports as things are getting restarted, a lot of back and forth between individual players, sometimes agents, and the leagues. When did you actually start talking to the league about a plan to come back, and why, you know, has it been kind of as placid and cooperative as it seems from the outside?
Oh, I don't know if placid and cooperative are the right words, but I can tell you this. Once we knew that it was likely that the season was going to be interrupted, and then once the fact took place, obviously there began to be, you know, daily and sometimes several times a day discussions about what we would do and when and how. And those are essential because you can't do these things on a dime. You have to prepare. From my standpoint, and I suspect from Gary's also, there's sort of a recognition that this is unlike any labor dispute we've ever been in for any number of reasons. But perhaps the biggest one is that there are a lot of things not only that we don't know but are not knowable. We don't know what's going to happen with a potential second wave of the virus. We don't know what the public health rules are going to be in effect in 30 or 60 or 90 or 180 days, or what the situation is. And so, in a way, this is my phrase, you know, it's a bit like paddling a kayak in a storm. You're doing the best you can, and we're trying not to tip the boat over. And so perhaps the answer to your question is that if there was a common recognition that we had problems outside of our control that we both have to deal with. Let me put it a different way. In a normal labor negotiation, somebody could say, okay, let's do this, and I agree, or I give up, or you give up, or whatever it is, and it's over. The dispute's within our control. You go back to work and all the rest of it. It's not true here.
Don, I wonder if, from the NHLPA's perspective, can you inform our audience how you feel about the medical protocols that are in place and how close and the discussions that were had between the two entities specific to the players' input when it came to the medical provisions?
I think the best way to put it is two things, I guess. First of all, we believe that the protocols are the appropriate ones now. Otherwise, we wouldn't have agreed with the NHL on them. And they were developed in conjunction with various public health authorities that we retained and that the NHL retained, as well as our doctors and the NHL's doctors and club doctors. Secondly, we regard them as living, it's a living document or living rules, which is simply a way of saying that if circumstances change, if it looks like we need to do other things, then we expect we're going to do them. If it looks like perhaps we don't need to do some of the things that are in the protocols, it's likely that at some point we would relax them. But, you know, the health and safety of everybody involved, this is players certainly, but also all the staff, all the people necessary to operate the arenas, whether for training camp or for the games, everybody necessary to cover it, plus anybody else that's involved, you have to protect their health and safety too. And that's, you know, foremost on our minds, and I believe on the NHL's mind also.
You know, some of the things we heard initially, Don, was that players would have to wear full face shields. You know, we talked about the idea of social distancing. I don't know how you do that in the bench. I mean, I've always operated under the assumption the idea is if everybody's tested equally, you know, the guy on the ice with you, you should have as much confidence that he's feeling as well as you're feeling. Have things like that been addressed? Like, will the players look the way the players normally look when they're in the ice?
I think very probably that will be the case based on what we know now. Based on what we know now. I really don't expect that to change. The suggestions we have is that if you have testing which is frequent enough and you take the other measures to make sure that all of the work facilities are disinfected and clean, and then when we get to the hub cities that you actually have a protected bubble, that should be okay. If it turns out that's not okay, then we'll have to make an adjustment in the fashion that I mentioned before.
Don, has anything in these conversations as we approach, you know, and again, in this unprecedented, completely unknown situation before this, but has anything in the conversation between the union and the league, looking at the business, getting the business restarted now, and probably, I assume, looking towards next season, whenever that would start, has that advanced the discussion towards a new collective agreement at all?
Oh, I don't know that it's advanced it. As I think you know, we had been in talks, you know, for the better part of a year to see if we could negotiate an extension, and now we have these other issues to deal with, both the health and safety issues as well as what you might call the adverse economic consequences of the pandemic, at least in the short term, and we hope it's only short term. And if we can do that in connection with an overall extension of the CBA, that would be great. I would like to believe we can, but as you may know from prior interviews we've had, I'm out of the prediction business.
Yeah.
All right. I will let you have one more prediction. I don't know if you've been paying attention to your previous job. The baseball labor negotiations are going on right now. Have you been following them? And, you know, what is your read on where we are right now?
Well, if you mean am I following it in the media, the answer is yes. Just like I'm following what's going on in basketball and when the discussions in the NFL heat up, what's going on over there too. Obviously, I have an interest in it. I know a bunch of the people. I wish them well. I hope it all works out. I am not in a position, and I don't have enough knowledge to have an opinion on these things other than, you know, my sense is that the players, as they always are going to insist on a fair agreement.
Don, it's a little sort of off field here, I should say, a question, but it
off field or off ice?
Yeah, both. Yeah, it's already I've thrown my own question off by my preamble here, but you know, one of the things you do is you work with this current generation of NHL players, and they're far more active on social media, and they have the ability, obviously, to get their message out directly to the public without going through traditional media, as players certainly in the past did. We've seen a lot of NHL players, Don, over the last 72 to 96 hours be incredibly public about how they feel about Evander Kane's comments, how they feel about institutional racism and systemic racism, and how they think it relates to the NHL. And I wonder from your perspective, given your role at the NHLPA, how you've seen this, because it feels like a bit of an inflection moment for the NHL in terms of players being this public.
Well, I haven't really thought about whether it's an inflection moment, but what I can tell you is this. Obviously, these players are of this generation. They understand the technology. They're comfortable using it. They are comfortable utilizing it as a vehicle to speak out in fashion which would have been much more cumbersome, to put it that way if I can, in the past. So to start with that. Secondly, I'm really proud of the guys. I don't know any other way to say it. They recognize there are serious issues. They have very strong views. I'm not going to characterize them. I think players' views speak for themselves pretty dramatically. And I think it is to their credit that they're taking the opportunities to do that.